Sunday, March 8th, third Sunday of Lent. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Brethren, be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, or obscenity, or foolish talking, or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand, that no fornicator, or unclean, or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Haydock Commentary. The Latin word for covetousness is generally taken for a coveting or immoderate desire of money and riches. St. Jerome and others observe that the Greek word in this and diverse other places in the New Testament may signify any unsatiable desire, or the lusts of sensual pleasures, and on this account St. Jerome thinks that it is here joined with fornication and uncleanness. But St. John Chrysostom shows that by the Greek word is understood avarice, or an immoderate desire of riches, when he says that this sin is condemned by those words of Christ in Luke 16:13, "You cannot serve both God and mammon." What is here meant by the word obscenity, St. John Chrysostom tells us at large in the moral exhortation after his 17th homily, jests with immodest suggestions or a double meaning, and raillery or buffoonery against the rules of good conversation, scarce made use of by any but men of low condition and of a mean genius, which is not to the purpose of a Christian who must give an account to God of all his words. The covetous man is called an idolater, whose idol is mammon, though it may also be said of other sinners that the vices they are addicted to are their idols. The apostle puts them in mind of the general judgment, when the angel of God will, on account of their crimes of avarice, fornication, etc., fall on the children of unbelief, by which are meant the wicked. He had before assured them that the perpetrators of such crimes would be excluded from the kingdom of heaven, and now he moreover informs them that the severest punishments will be inflicted on such wicked persons. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, do not imitate their wickedness, or the wrath of the Almighty will likewise fall on you. By darkness is meant the state of infidelity into which they had been plunged so far as to adore stones as God, and committed without remorse the above-mentioned grievous sins. But delivered by Christ from this darkness, they have become light in the Lord, shining in faith and justice. The Gospel from Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, "He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And others, tempting, asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall this kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. But if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things are in peace which he possesseth. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Heda Commentary. This possessed person is said in the Gospel of Matthew to have also been blind. Upon him, therefore, were wrought three wonders: the blind saw, the dumb spoke, the possessed was delivered, which daily takes place in the persons of such as are converted to the number of true believers. The devil is expelled, and they both receive the light of faith beaming upon their eyes, and having the strings of their silent organs loose to sound forth the praises of God. So says Venerable Bede. The multitude, though devoid of learning, were constant admirers of the actions of our Lord, whilst the scribes and Pharisees either denied them, or by a sinister interpretation, ascribed them to the power of the unclean spirit. Therefore they will be your judges. They will condemn you of injustice, envy, and hatred against me, and blasphemy against God, because when they perform any exorcisms, though they appear but little more than human in their actions, yet you ascribe them to the virtue of God. But when I perform any miracle, though there always appear most evident signs of the power and virtue of God, you ascribe all to the hand and machinations of the devil. By this one man is meant the whole Jewish people, out of whom the unclean spirit had been driven by the law. So says St. Ambrose. For as long as they were in Egypt, they lived after the manners of the Egyptians, and were the habitation of the unclean spirit. But it was expelled from them when they slew the paschal lamb in figure of Christ, and escaped destruction by sprinkling themselves with its blood. So says St. Cyril. But the evil spirit returned to his former habitation, the Jews, because he saw them devoid of virtue, barren, and open for his reception. And their latter state is worse than their former, for more wicked demons possess the breasts of the Jews than before. Then they raged against the prophets only, but now they persecute the Lord himself of the prophets. Therefore have they suffered much greater extremities from Vespasian and Titus than from Egypt and Babylon. For besides being deprived of the merciful protection of Providence, which before watched over them, they are destitute of all grace and delivered up to a more poignant misery and a more cruel tyranny of the devil. So says St. John Chrysostom. But these words are also addressed to us Christians, who may often and with reason fear lest the vice we think extinguished in us again return and seize on our slothful and careless souls, finding them cleansed indeed from the filth of sin by the grace of baptism, but destitute of every ornamental and protective virtue. It brings with it seven other evil spirits, by which we must understand every vicious inclination. So says Venerable Bede. The latter state of these souls is worse than the former, because having been delivered from all former sins and adorned with grace, if they again return to their iniquities, a much more grievous punishment will be due for every subsequent crime. So says St. John Chrysostom. Our Savior does not here wish to deny what the woman said in praise of his mother, but rather to confirm it. Indeed, how could he deny that his mother was blessed? By these words he only wishes to tell his auditors what great advantage they might obtain by attending to his words. For the Blessed Virgin, as St. Augustine says, was more happy in having our Savior in her heart and affections than in having conceived him in her womb.